ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text Number 31. This chapter is entitled as The Forest of Enjoyment. Tatrapi nirvarodaha swairena viharan ati kripana buddhir anyonya mukhya nirikshanadina gramya karmanaiva vismrita kalavadihi. Tatrapi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this way, the descendants of the monkeys intermingle with each other, and they are generally known as Shudras. Without hesitating, they live and move freely, not knowing the goal of life. They are captivated simply by seeing the faces of one another, which remind them of sense gratification. They are always engaged in material activities known as gramya karma, and they work hard for material benefit. Thus they forget completely that one day their small lifespan will be finished and they will be degraded in the evolutionary cycle. Purport. Materialistic people are sometimes called Shudras or descendants of monkeys. Due to their monkey-like intelligence, they do not care to know how the evolutionary process is taking place, nor are they eager to know what will happen after they finish their small human lifespan. This is the attitude of Shudras. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, this Krishna consciousness movement, is trying to elevate the Shudras to the Brahmana platform so that they will know the real goal of life. Unfortunately, being overly attached to sense gratification, materialists are not serious in helping this movement. Instead, some of them try to suppress it. Thus, it is the business of monkeys to disturb the activities of the Brahmanas. The descendants of the monkeys completely forget that they have to die, and they are very proud of scientific knowledge and the progress of material civilization. The word gramya karmana indicates activities meant only for the improvement of bodily comforts. Presently, all human society is engaged in improving economic conditions and bodily comforts. People are not interested in knowing what is going to happen after death, nor do they believe in the transmigration of the soul. When one scientifically studies the evolutionary theory, one can understand that human life is a junction where one may take the path of promotion or degradation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yanti deva vrita devan pitrini yanti pitri vritaha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mat yajino piman. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. In this life, we have to prepare ourselves for promotion to the next life. Those who are in the mode of Rajoguna are generally interested in being promoted to the heavenly planets. Some unknowingly are degraded to lower animal forms. Those in the mode of goodness can engage in devotional service, and after that, they can return home back to Godhead. Yantimad yajinopimam. That is the real purpose of human life. This Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring intelligent human beings to the platform of devotional service. Instead of wasting time trying to attain a better position in material life, one should simply endeavor to return home back to Godhead. Then all problems will be solved. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, 17th Verse, Sharanvatam Svakataha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Riddhi Antastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhrtsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotees, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. One simply has to follow the regulative principles, act like a Brahmana, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one purifies himself of the baser material modes, Tamoguna and Rajoguna, and becoming freed from the greed of these modes, can attain complete peace of mind. In this way, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one's relationship with Him, and thus be promoted to the highest perfection, Siddhim Paramam Gataha. Om Hare Krishna. So, here in Shukadeva Goswami, continues to expose the materialistic life. And only in this place, even though Srila Prabhupada in all other places does not accept the evolutionary theory of Darwin, he is quoting Darwin as an authority. That is, there is a sarcasm involved because of the behavior of the living entities. And unfortunately, in the age of Kali, when somebody performs the degraded activities, he is proud of it. In the human psychology, we see this principle. Either one feels too superior about himself and is frustrated, or one feels too depressed about himself and therefore is frustrated. And because of these two principles, his platform is always false. But the Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it not only gives our real identity, but at the same time, it also gives our future prospect. What is our achievement, what we can attain, where we can go. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, while explaining the Prarabdha Karma, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about once being born in a low family. And Srila Prabhupada, in a modern term, it makes it very clear. So it may be seen that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is being too specific about people, and this may cause guilt in the heart. Just like the Karmakandi Brahmanas, they are very apt in recognizing or pointing out our faults. You are fallen, you are low born. But they don't give any solution. And therefore, there is depression. Oh, I am fallen. God is very cruel to me. On the other hand, the modern materialistic people, they say there is no sin in your life. There is no such thing as sin. You have come here, there is no God. If God was there, why there is such kind of disparities? Why there is such, you know, differences in two different kinds of people? So forget about your background. So they give unwanted, false, superior position. And both are wrong. Even though the Vedic literatures, especially the literature which deal with the Vaishnava principles, they talk about our fallen condition not to create depression or guilt in our heart. Rather, to give a facility, just see, you are so fallen, but then if you approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there is all hope. In the materialistic world, people always want their claims and rights. I want my right. Everybody is fighting. The Shudras are fighting for their rights. The Brahmanas are fighting for their rights. The men are trying to maintain their rights. Women are trying to fight for their rights. But if we fight for our rights, and not accept the responsibility along with the rights, then that is not right. Along with the right comes the responsibilities. People want the independence or the facilities, but they don't want to accept the responsibilities. Therefore, when Krishna, or in the Vedas or in other literature, when the Kali Yuga human beings are described, it's a very gloomy picture. It's all fallen, all low class. But when Krishna makes that point, recently when Radhanand Maharaj was giving class, he said, when Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamhi Partha Vapashritya, Epishu Papa Yonayo, Striya Vaishastata Shudra Tepi Antim Paramgatim. When Krishna makes, okay, these people are fallen. Now when he says that these people are fallen, not to recognize fallen people, but to give them hope. Unless we realize our fallen condition, we cannot actually take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we recognize our fallen condition, then where do you look up? You look up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You look up to somebody who is not fallen, who is very merciful. Therefore, the psychology of Mother Kunti in the Bhagavatam we see. She is agreeing with Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. She says, who am I? I am the most fallen. I am a woman. So how can I understand this? And because she feels like that, therefore she is the most qualified to understand the intricacies of devotional service. So unless we fall into this psychology of being fallen but not depressing and guilty, rather looking up to Krishna, then devotional service also falls into the category of being right or being wrong, my claim, my rights, my facilities, and not taking the responsibilities. If we claim our rights, then the responsibilities come. And unfortunately, in this age of Kali, the situations are so difficult to actually fulfill our responsibilities. They don't provide any facilities. If a brahmachari has to claim his rights, but the responsibilities are great. If a sannyasi has to claim his rights, but the responsibilities are great. A shudra has to claim his rights, the responsibilities are great. Lamentation was also there in the previous yugas. People used to lament. But the cause for lamentation was completely different. Even if you remove devotional service in the Vedic time, even if you remove Krishna from the picture, but still people were very cultured. They would complete their, fulfill their responsibilities. Even up to the level of demons like Jarasandh, when Lord Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima came to his assembly, he was so sensitive in recognizing the culture of the people. When he saw Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima, even though externally they were dressed like a brahmanas, he saw some faults in them. What was their faults? They had come as the students, natakas. And even though they had come as students, they were dressed gorgeously. Krishna was wearing beautiful garland. He had applied chandan all over his form. Arjuna had done that. Bhima had done that. They said, you can't be students. If you are a student, how is that you are dressed so lavishly? There is something wrong in you. You cannot be students. You cannot be brahmanas. Anyway, because you have come as brahmanas, it is my duty, it is my responsibility, because you have taken the right of being a king, he said, I'll offer whatever you want. Even if it is meant my life. Just even the demons had that responsibility. So the lamentation in those days was to be fulfilling their responsibilities. In the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was crookedly sent by Shakuni and Duryodhan and Karna to Vanavas, they went to the jungles. And you'll find Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting. And what is his lamentation? He's crying that I've lost my kingdom. And the sages try to pacify him. Now one may say, Yudhishthira Maharaj is being a pure devotee. should be completely satisfied in whatever circumstances. But you'll find, why was he lamenting? His lamentation was not because he lost the kingdom, but the kingdom was giving him facilities to perform his duties as a grihastha, as a king. As Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that in no point of time one should give up dana, tapa and yajna. Pavanani manishina, even the great souls are purified by performing these activities. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that, because he was no more a king, he had nothing at his disposal. And because Yudhishthira Maharaj was such a great king, naturally hundreds and thousands of brahmanas were following Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he could not support them. He could not feed them. He could not provide them any facilities for their yajna and sacrifices. And that was causing lamentation in the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? I could not provide proper facilities. In Kali Yuga also people lament. They lament for unwanted cause or the cause which is not very beneficial. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the definition of a Shudra? One who laments unnecessarily. One who laments for not a significant cause. And is a Shudra. So therefore, when we understand this principle that we are fallen, then it becomes very easy to adapt the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the character of, what to speak of great souls, great devotees. Sometimes seeing their character, we feel it's very fantastic. Their exaggeration. But even the most ordinary person, even their character, if we see, you know, it may create some kind of hopelessness, but that hopelessness is very good. In the 12th canto, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Pingala prostitute, when she found everything was hopelessness, and in that hopelessness she found some hope. What was that hope? That hope of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shikshastakam Prabhu was narrating a story yesterday in the Ramayana. Lord Indra sent his charioteer Matali to help Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra, when he saw Ravan, naturally he was very angry. He was waiting for so many months to capture this Atatai, the aggressor, one who had kidnapped his wife. And Lord Ramachandra was forcing Matali, said, "Drive my chariot fast." He was ordering Matali. And then immediately Lord Ramachandra stopped. It's a very sensitive point. And Lord Ramachandra said, he started thinking, Matali is not my charioteer. He is somebody else's servant. And he being somebody else's servant, how can I order him? I have no rights to order. Now Lord Ramachandra is acting as a perfect human being. And immediately he addressed Matali. He said, "My dear Matali, please forgive me. You have no relationship with me. You are not my servant. I am not your master. So please forgive me for ordering you." So this kind of behavior is not found. Just like the American first president, George Washington. He was sitting with his commander-in-chief. And one of the slaves, he offered obeisances. And immediately George Washington got up and he also offered back. And the commander-in-chief was shocked. He said, "What is this? You are offering obeisance back to him?" And George Washington said, "Why should I be less than him? Why should I be less than him?" So this cultural aspect, when we read and study, then we realize that we are so fallen in this age of Kali. And that is the point Srila Prabhupada is making here. Unless we recognize this, even in devotional service, even while practicing spiritual life, this division that I am superior and you are inferior, it creeps in consciously or unconsciously. Either we create the culture of such division consciously or we create that culture unconsciously within our heart. Just like the modern society is trying to create a cultureless society, everybody gets their position. I don't need to feel inferior. In India, just like some students were telling us when we were in one university city, Indian student, you know, they were born in a Brahmin family, South Indian Brahmanas, Ayyars and Ayyangars. And when they went to study their post-graduation, one student, he said, you know, I was working as a janitor. I said, what does it mean? In plain language, bhangi. He said, every day for 6 to 8 hours, he was cleaning toilets. He said, it was so painful. And he said, I've never told my parents about this. Jaya, His Grace, Toka, Krishna Prabhu, Ki. So, he was mentioning that he could never tell his parents. And he made another point. He said, in the West, you are made feel that whatever you do, you should not feel guilty. Even if you work such kind of a job, you know, they create a comfortable situation. Why? They are trying to create artificially equality. And which creates false pride. That whatever you do, you know, don't feel bad about it. And that gives false confidence. And because that gives false confidence, one does not feel the need to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the Vedic literature, this distinction is made. Okay, I'm fallen. And when you understand that you are fallen, especially in this age of Kali, the fault of this age of Kali has been made positive by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unlimited faults are there, but utilize that fault so that you can apply in surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now what was their background? They were born in a high class Saraswat Brahmin family, very, very refined Brahmanas. Even while working with Nawab Hussain Shah, they had created a Brindavan, Gupta Brindavan in their place. It is not that working with the Nawab Hussain Shah, their activities were also degraded. No, they were still practicing their Brahminical activities. But simply because they connected themselves to this Nawab, who is a Mlech and Yavan, they were conscious and they believed they had complete faith in their fallen condition. They said, we are so fallen that we have no facilities. We have no hope. But because we have heard about you, when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we have heard your glories, you are the deliverer of the most fallen, then this desire within our heart has arisen. What is that desire? Even though we are like dwarf, even though we are dwarf, but the desire to capture the moon has come within our consciousness. In our heart, there is no facility. In our situation, we have no qualification. But because we have heard about you, therefore there is a hope that we will attain some mercy. Our position is more degraded than Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai is what was their fault. They never took a job with the Mlechas and Yavanas. They were simply sinful. But simply mere reflection, one Harinam has saved them. I remember another time, Radhananda Maharaj is mentioning, narrating the story of Jagai Madai. When we hear the story of Jagai Madai, their fallen condition, then nobody can excuse or justify saying that I have no hope. A conditioned soul falls into these two traps. He thinks himself very superior and does not take shelter of Krishna. Or he thinks very inferior and therefore he feels that nobody can save me. And both are false egos. They are not real identity. But here, when we understand our fallen condition soul, but at the same time we understand our background. Therefore Rupa Goswami or Srila Prabhupada, when they say, one who is born in a low family, he is sinful. One who has an ugly body, that means he has a sinful background. One who has a lot of legal implication, that means he is sinful. One may feel, one may identify with that. Oh, this is all to me. And one may feel very guilty. But no, why does Rupa Goswami speak about that? Why does Srila Prabhupada speak about that? To give hope. Even if you are in that kind of life, even if you are so fallen, what does it do? Devotional service can upgrade you. It can take you to the highest platform. And therefore, when Mother Devahuti, when she was conversing with Kapila Muni, she exclaims, Aho bata swapachata gariyan ya jivagre vartate namatubhyam. Aho, you know, she's so surprised and wonderstruck by the greatness of being connected to Krishna, not directly, by His holy name. Aho bata, just see, that even if somebody chants the mantra, the holy name of the Lord, even once, how should we take him? That he should be taken as he has performed all kinds of tapasyas. He has gone to all the holy places. He has studied all the Vedic literature. And then Sridhar Goswami explains, that is one specific word, that such a person, not that he is qualified to perform yajnas. Sometime Srila Rupa Goswami, when he quotes this verse in the Bhagavatam, in the principle of Prarabdha Karma, in those chapters, he quotes this verse to just explain how one who takes the shelter of Krishna can eradicate all one's Prarabdha Karma. And Srila Sridhar Goswami explains in that context, sometime the Brahmanas, they say, okay, you can chant Hare Krishna, you are purified, but you don't have the eligibility. You have the ability, you have the eligibility to perform yajna, but you don't have the eligibility. What is the difference? Means you are qualified. You are, yes, you can perform yajna, but you don't have the technical training. And they give the example, just like even a boy, a child born in a Brahmin family, he has the eligibility to perform yajna, but not the ability. Unless he goes through the training of rising and taking all the samskaras, then he can perform yajna, even if he is born in a Brahmin family. So similarly, they say, you may chant Hare Krishna, you may take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have the eligibility, but the ability is not there. Sridhar Goswami does not agree with this. He says, what to speak of eligibility? He is worshipable by such Brahmanas. He should be worshipped by such Brahmanas. Therefore, there is an exclamation mark. She is not simply speaking. The Bhagavatam, the verses spoken by different characters, it is not simply a word. Every word has a feeling. And you can understand it. Like one student I met, and he was studying his PhD in Sanskrit. And his theme was Mahabharata. And he said, when you read the text in the Mahabharata, he said, don't read them flatly. He said, every verse he was mentioning has a meaning, has a feeling. And based upon the feeling and meaning, you know, you'll find the verse differently compiled and differently composed. And what to speak of Srimad Bhagavatam? When Devuti cries out, she's so amazed and she's so wonderstruck by seeing the power of devotional service. So therefore, when we try to create classless society, the materialistic people, when they try to create classless society, everybody is equal, one is freed from the guilt of doing anything and everything, acting as shudras, acting as monkeys, and feeling proud about it. Shamelessly proud. But devotional service, what does it do? It creates shame in our heart. It creates guilt in our heart. But that guilt does not stop there. It does not create depression within our heart. Rather, it creates hope. Why? Because we understand what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering, what Srila Prabhupada is offering through his Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, it is very important to understand the culture of Krishna conscious philosophy. The Bhagavad Gita not only speaks about surrendering to Krishna. Yeah, that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, is to become Krishna's devotee, to always think about Krishna, worship Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna also presents the culture of a devotee, the character of a devotee. In the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was discussing with Yaksha, Yaksha caught him in a place where all of them become thirsty. And Yaksha asked many questions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And very important question he asked, he said, who is a Brahman? How do you recognize a Brahman? And Yudhishthira Maharaj speaks the answer in 4 to 5 shlokas. And what we understand Brahmana is not the explanation given by Yudhishthira Maharaj. A Brahmana means, one may say, one who is expert in learning the Shastras or reciting the Shastras or performing all kinds of sacrifice. He says, no, he is not a Brahman. He said, a Brahman is one who has got proper sadachar, one who has the proper character. He is very kind to others. He is very soft-hearted. He is compassionate to others. He said, such person is considered as a Brahmana. And Yudhishthira Maharaj explains, even the lowest of the low people can actually be expert in reciting the Shastras. And that is what the point which Sukadeva Goswami is making, that in Kali Yuga, most people are directed towards false sadhus, yogis, who create a false path, compromise everything, and they cheat people. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, that is not a Brahmana. By seeing the sajachar, by seeing the character, one recognizes that he is a Brahmana. And what to speak of a Vaishnava? So therefore Krishna, when he teaches Bhagavad Gita, he is giving a full culture of what kind of life a devotee should lead. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan explains, what was the qualification of Arjuna to hear Bhagavad Gita? Srila Prabhupada gives the hint in the Bhagavad Gita commentary, quoting Baldev Vidyabhushan only. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan explains, first Arjuna was compassionate towards his own soldiers. When he came to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he felt compassionate towards his own soldiers. That was quite natural. And then the compassionate principle started expanding, started extending, not only to his people, but beyond his people to the people of the opposing army, the Kauravas. Now what kind of disposition Arjuna had for the Kauravas? It was not good. He had gone to the Himalayas, he went to heavenly planets for 5 years, training himself, learning all kinds of divine weapons. One time Dhritarashtra in the assembly told, just see, Arjuna had such a revengeful attitude towards us. He used to hear about the Pandavas all the time. He said, even though Arjuna went to the heavenly planets, who will come back from the heavenly planets? Nobody comes back from the heavenly planets. Once you go to the heavenly planets, you will come back only you are exhausted with your pious credits. And who is Arjun? He is not any pious person who will go there and exhaust his pious karma. He said, Arjun is sitting at this on the same seat with Indra. But he has come back to this world. Why has he come back? Because he has come back just to take revenge against us. His anger is so powerful. And that Arjun, he had prepared everything, but when he came to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and because he was a Vaishnava, his compassionate principle was not limited to his own people. He was willing to forgive the opposing army, who are like Duryodhan, Karna, Shakuni. Nobody can do that. And therefore, Baldev Vidyabhushan explains, because of this character of Arjuna, he became a qualified candidate to hear Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, knowledge without proper sadachar, it becomes like a weapon. Shastra and Shastra, they come from the same principle. If we don't squeeze out proper meaning of the Shastra, then we will squeeze blood out of it. We will misuse the explanation of the Shastra and simply create more and more arrogance. So by reading Shastra, by understanding the scripture, by practicing the culture of Krishna consciousness, when we feel more and more fallen, not depressed, not hopeless, but have confidence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we actually understand actually appreciate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Recognize the mercy. Appreciate the mercy and never let go that mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we feel that, okay, this has come to me accidentally, by stroke of luck or, you know, our prarabdha, then it is very difficult to appreciate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when we realize and recognize our fallen condition, how degraded we are, and especially for the Indians, still that pride is there. Oh, we are born in good family. I am born in such and such family. We can claim the right of being born in that family without accepting the responsibilities. And therefore, it becomes sometimes difficult to recognize the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if we recognize our fallen condition and study the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, study the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, which is giving the principle of Krishna conscious culture as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then in no point of time, at no stage of our life, will ever let go this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think Gaurang Prabhu was making a very beautiful point few days back. Why do we come to Krishna consciousness? We have some relative problems. We come to Krishna consciousness because of these relative problems. And when we take to devotional service, it is quite natural that these relative problems are destroyed. Then we see, so then what is next now? The problems are solved. And because we don't know the higher goals, or we don't recognize the higher goal, we don't try to cultivate the higher goal, and then we start feeling kind of boredom in devotional service. Actually, devotional service cannot create any boredom. Why? Because we know. If we really know, if we really understand our fallen condition, then we become very desperate. We become very intense. Then the process of Krishna consciousness at any stage of our life does not create boredom. It is not that I've performed devotional service, attended morning program for 30 years, 25 years, 15 years. Then even if I'm little lax, I can sit behind, leaning to the wall, or I can sit in my computer room, hear from there. That shows that we are feeling comfortable. A devotional service has actually caused boredom. But if it is not, if you are desperate, then you will sit at the feet of devotees and try to grab as much as mercy as possible and become desperate. And therefore, Srila Parikshit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, he makes that point. Just to prove himself how fallen he is, even though he is not, he is connected to the Pandavas, the great Pandavas. Even Sukadev Goswami, he encourages Parikshit Maharaj, saying that, what is your position is so great. He said, yes, Lord may have appeared in different dynasties, and you know that dynasty may have been glorified, but your family, he said, Lord was acting as your messenger, as a friend, as a Kula Devata. Your position is much greater. And Parikshit Maharaj was personally served by the Lord. But how does Parikshit Maharaj feel when he was cursed by that Brahmana boy? Parikshit Maharaj explains, I think this was the only way I could have been detached from materialistic life. He was already detached. So therefore, Krishna very kindly, not because of my qualification, but because of my connection to my great-grandfather, having mercy upon them, having kindness upon them, having friendship upon them, he has come to me. In what form? He has come in the form of Dvijashaparupa, in the form of the curse of a Brahmana. And let me hold it, let me grab the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became very desperate, he became very intense. So Krishna consciousness culture is to create desperation, to create that intensity, to understand, to make us understand how fallen, how low, how degraded we are. There is no point in falsely claiming our proprietorship. We may get that, but we may lose the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may lose the divine mercy of Srila Prabhupada. But if we understand our fallen condition soul, condition stage, then we become desperate and grab the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, there can be no conflict or difficulties in the society of devotees. We simply appreciate everybody's devotional service. We appreciate Mahaprabhu's mercy. We appreciate Srila Prabhupada's greatness, Srila Prabhupada's kindness. And in that disposition of the heart, devotional service becomes very natural. It becomes part of our system. And in this way, in this very lifetime, as Prabhupada explains, even if you are most fallen, you can go back to the spiritual world of Krishna Loka. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comment? Yes, Brajbir.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. You are mentioning 2 points about boredom part, how we, when our relative problems are solved and then we get bored and we are not intense. And before that also you explained about how we are in extremes. We are complacent also. And then you are saying that we should struggle, we should desperately take shelter of devotees, be in the association. Sometimes, many times in fact, we hear devotees explain this point and they say that devotees have to struggle in Krishna consciousness. They should struggle and be happy. Either you are a brahmachari or a grihastha, you have to struggle. So my question is, what is it that a devotee should do that will make his struggle in Krishna consciousness full of happiness? That is, in other words, how can he be happy struggling?
Yeah, this is, we were discussing a few days back, this point. That if you are depressed, you know, if you have a platform which is depressing, then how can you deal with the material world? Because material world is also very depressing. But if you have a natural, enthusiastic platform, like few days back, Bhagavatam class, Maharaj made that point, Radhanand Maharaj, that enthusiasm has the power to absorb. If you have enthusiasm, you are absorbed. So if you are like a fighter, like a kshatriya, therefore sometime a practitioner is also called as Yuddha Veera. Why? Because he loves to struggle. He enjoys the struggle because he knows the future perspective of that struggle. But if you find hopelessness in your spiritual life, material life also does not give hope. It simply, you become like a rotten vegetable, either in the spiritual life or in the material life. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, either be hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I spit at you. So this depressing condition is like that. Either neither hot or cold. That doesn't mean that we try to experience material life. No, just be in the association of devotees. Practice your sadhana. You know, if you are not enthusiastic, there are other devotees. Just stay close to them. You know, they'll force you to be enthusiastic. But if you avoid, you know, being in their association, you means we are all, then we have no hope. The whole process of Krishna consciousness, recently again in the counselors meeting, Radhanand Maharaj is making a point. He said, our hope is our equals. He gave the example that when he was with Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, when he was feeling that, you know, what other devotees will feel, I have obligation, I've got responsibilities to go to all these places, but now I have to stay here. And he knew this is the thing what Prabhupada wanted me to do. But still devotees might feel, why is he, you know, he's not come. But he said, all the devotees whom he met after the whole incidents of Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, they're so inspired. What was the inspiring thing? To see that he has given up all his responsibility, but giving all of his time to his God brother. You know, spending time with his God brother, you know, nourishing him spiritually, you know, taking care of him. So the point is, it is natural that while living in this material world, it sucks our vital energy. The material world is so created, you know, it's like, you know, the dry season of India, it dries our vital energy. We feel very frustrated. But then if you are connected to such enthusiastic devotee, they always remain enthusiastic in their devotional service, in their practices, in their sadhana. Then they'll shake us from our dryness. They'll keep us enthusiastic. That is the solution. It's very practical. There is no mystical solution. It is a very practical solution. Being surrounded in the association of devotees. And then it becomes very easy. Then you enjoy your struggle. Like, you know, we say a brahmachari life is struggle. And because it is struggle, it doesn't mean that, okay, you become grahastha. Is it less struggle? Both are full of struggle. I think you have attended Gauranga Prabhu's seminar on choosing the ashram. Both life are full of struggle. So the platform is struggle, but if you accept that with enthusiasm, but the benefits are great. Otherwise, you have to come back again to this material world. As Kali Yuga progresses, it becomes more difficult. So therefore, a conditioned soul, especially in this age of Kali, he forgets the substance of bhakti and takes shelter of the superficialities. That's very easy. It doesn't need much, you know, desperation to take to the superficialities of spiritual activities. But to take to the substance, it takes great amount of struggle. Narad Muni, when he met Lord Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he was laughing. He said, just see the Pandavas, they're completely surrendered to Krishna at all point of time, but they're suffering so much. He's praising in a way, trying to, you know, what is this Krishna in that kind of mood? But he's praising the Pandavas. They've struggled so much. Therefore, the Mahabharata, in the Bhagavatam, very clear, their pure devotional service is explained. When the Mahabharata, it gives their human emotions, how they are going through, what are the difficulties. You know, they are like Bhima, Draupadi, you know, apparently sometime they criticize Yudhishthir. But at all point of time, they remain subservient to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Difficulties are there, the problems are there. It is not that we may not feel very good about everybody at every time. But the point is that continue following. Bhima says one time, he said, you know, you are not a Kshatriya, you must be a Brahmana. For every time you are compassionate, why are you born in a Kshatriya family? To such an extent, when you become so frustrated by seeing the naughty behavior of the Kauravas, he said, I am so angry with Yudhishthir Maharaj, I want to rip off your both arms and burn it. He's a pure devotee. He's just expressing, but he never does it. So it speaks about human emotions. Doesn't speak much about pure devotional service. So when we read Mahabharata with the eyes of Bhagavatam, it's very interesting. You find all this. Draupadi, you know, she's criticizing Yudhishthira Maharaj superficially. But at core, whatever it comes, I'll follow my husband. She tells this to Satyabhama, you know, other queens also. So therefore, yes, these human emotions will come while practicing devotional life. But we don't bring them to a reality. You know, we just, again, continue to practice our Krishna consciousness. And they are the best examples. The Pandavas are the best example for the sadhakas, the practicing devotees. Their life is a real life, which everybody goes through such situation. Yes? Srinath Prabhu, you want to make a comment?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as you said that, Brahmana has a good behavior and humility. And what say about Vaishnava? That means Vaishnava is the higher quality.
Yes.
Prabhuji, but my question is that, but in our ISKCON family, we are giving the means we are calling someone Vaishnava first and then giving his benediction as a Brahmana. What will you clarify this?
Good logical question. The question is, in our ISKCON society, first we call everybody Vaishnava, then we give him Brahman Diksha. Now again, Brahman Diksha is, it's a logical question. So somebody should give a logical answer. Shamanand Prabhu, would like to answer? No, that's very simple. No. I may call you Vaishnav and you may call me a Vaishnav, but you should never think you're a Vaishnav. And when we are in that platform, then the Brahman Diksha is given so that you can perform deity worship. Still a devotee of the Lord, even if he is called by others, oh, aho bata, just see how glorious this person. But he never thinks himself is glorious. And therefore he becomes disqualified. He is only waiting all the formalities to go through. No, oh, let me become qualified. Let my guru recognize me and give me that facility to worship the Lord. Not that I force myself. That is the point. Yes, Raini Priya Prabhu. So Krishna Prabhu, after that you have to speak. After you.
You are explaining the Kunti Maharani's ecstasies when she says, or is it Devohuti, Ahobata, Sapachoda Garyan? And you said that she is saying that, look at this person, that he has attained, he has done, he has got all those benefits, the pustapas, even though he's not directly associating Krishna, but only with his name. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, of course, we know that Krishna is non-different from his name. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, sometimes those who associate directly with Krishna are offenders, like Shishupal, Jarasandha, Duryodhan. So they offend Krishna, the person, and the holy name, the person. Both are Krishna and Krishna's holy name, they are non-different. But just to increase the flavor of bhakti, you know, we can use the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Even though they are not directly connected to Krishna, you know, still so glorious they are, that simply by chanting the names of the Lord, just like there is one poet in the South India, he says, you know, I don't care for Krishna, I am satisfied with your name. Why? Because he knows that Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. In fact, Krishna's name in this age of Kali is more merciful than Krishna. If Krishna has to come and see us, our qualification, because in the Vedic time, mantra is given to only qualified people. If you have to recite mantras, even the any mantras, mantra recitation requires qualification, proper pronunciation also. Even wrong pronunciation with good understanding also creates a wrong effect. But in this age of Kali, it's not like that. You have a good attitude or a bad attitude. Chant Hare Krishna, then your attitude will be changed. Your attitude will be changed. And the Lord is here to give 100% discount. Not seeing any of our disqualification, but only thing we have to accept that we are disqualified. That is the only small thing is required from us. Not claiming proprietorship over our rights. I think that's the most important principle. And then bhakti becomes very easy. We have our Stoka Krishna Prabhu has come to give us his darshan. And we have seen he has taken so greatly, you know, the whole situation in his life. It's amazing. I was speaking to Devamrita Prabhu when Devamrita Prabhu met him. He was so amazed. He said, I've never seen a person who's about to die being so blissful. He was saying, I've never seen. And we can speak like this. So he's setting an example for us. And he's always saying that I'm very grateful for everything what I've received. There is no regret. So we thank Stoke Krishna Prabhu for sharing this kind of disposition. You'd like to speak few words? Please. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. I beg all the Vaishnavas blessings from you all and the blessings from the deities also, that I have no other desire. I don't want to be free from disease. I don't want to get any form of liberation or any like higher planetary system or going back to Godhead or Krishna. I just want you all should bless me that I can, in whatever facility and whatever body, I just want to serve Guru Maharaj and just give pleasure to Guru Maharaj's heart and all Vaishnava's heart. That is the only desire I want to have and I want to keep in my life of eternity.
The key jai. This Prashadam arrangement for all the